Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 96 and verse 6. The Scripture says, "Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary." Let's read that together this morning. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. You may be seated. I would like to talk to you today about strength and beauty. Strength and beauty. First of all, notice the strange combination that is listed here for us. Strange combinations are walking together in this 96th Psalm. Honor and majesty are before Him. Think for a moment how seldom you see honor and majesty together fellowshipping. In political offices, people of high estate who have majesty so seldom have honor. And when we think of honor, we do not usually think of majesty. And when we think of majesty, we seldom think of honor. In the Word of God, there are such pairs that are seldom seen together. For example, the Apostle Paul speaks about zeal and knowledge. How rare it is to find in the same package both zeal and knowledge. Somebody has said, scholarship and fire seldom walk together. But how wonderful it is to find a scholar who has the fire of God in his soul. And he secures his education and his training, and he gains his scholarship, but he keeps the zeal and the fire of his youth. There is still another pair that seldom walks together. It's said of Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 14 that He was full of grace and truth. Do you ever stop to think how difficult it is to mingle grace and truth? Have you ever noticed that about the time you get enough of the truth, you lose your grace? About the time I take a stand that I ought to take, I find myself losing my warmth and my love. And then I have truth, but I don't have grace. So I work on grace and I become a sweet, gentle preacher. And I forget all about truth. And it's almost like I want to join the National Council of Churches or something like that. The honest truth is, it is very hard to balance grace and truth. Now there's another pair, just as rarely found together as grace and truth, or majesty, or honor, or zeal and knowledge. It's strength and beauty. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. What a strange combination. Strength and beauty. The psalmist looks at the temple and he lists two qualities that seldom travel together. In fact, this entire psalm, Psalm 96, I think lists two qualities, or talks about things about the sanctuary. The psalmist is looking at the temple, which is the center of all Jewish life. And as he looks at the temple, he says, strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. And we think of strength with its solidity, and we think of someone who finds it difficult to associate with grace and loveliness. We think of strength, we think of someone who has few manners or little ethics. We oftentimes disassociate anything loving with anything strong. And conversely, when we think of the beautiful, we think of it as something that is fragile and delicate, something that is easily broken. We hardly ever think of something being beautiful and strong at the same time. But I am advocating to you this morning strength and beauty, honor and majesty, zeal and knowledge, grace and truth. And I'm saying to you this morning this, I do not believe that you need to sacrifice grace to have truth. And you do not need to sacrifice honor to have majesty. And you do not need to sacrifice zeal to have knowledge. And you do not need to sacrifice beauty to have strength, or strength to have beauty. So the psalmist looks at the temple of the marble pillars, and he sees the undergirdings of the temple and the strength of the pillars. And then he looks at the exquisite carvings. And he says, strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Strength and beauty in the temple. The psalmist looked at the great porch, upheld by two famous pillars of bronze, cast by the most skillful workers, and on top of those strong and sturdy pillars was lily work. How beautiful. Realizing the strength of those two bronze pillars of the porch and viewing the delicate, dainty needlework at the top, the psalmist says, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. The psalmist looks at the massive stones and the cedars of Lebanon. Then he compares them to the delicate carvings of the cherubim, and he says, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. He looked at the immense stone foundations, and at the same time, the interior overlaid with pure gold. And he says, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. He looked at the beautiful architecture and the strength upholding the great massive building. At the same time, he noticed precious stones gleaming midst of the gold and said, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. He looked at the high walls and compared them to the woven tapestry that was hanging on every side. He saw the strength of the walls and the beauty and the loveliness of the tapestry, and he said, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Now, I say all of this to say this morning, we face a generation that does not compare strength and beauty. We face a generation that says you must be strong, you must stand, you must fight, you must not yield, you must not give. And on the other side, we see people who believe in the arts, who believe in the beauty of nature, who believe in beauty as opposed to strength. My question is, what is wrong with having strength and beauty? What is wrong with having zeal and knowledge? What is wrong with having strength and beauty? A pastor who was up in years once said, when I was a young man, I chose between zeal and depth. He said, when I was a young man, I looked on one side and I saw the depth of the teaching of the Word of God and exposing the Scriptures. On the other side, I saw those who had zeal. They passed out tracts. They witnessed. They had a fervor and fire and zeal. And that I decided right then that I would be deep instead of zealous. But I suggest to you this morning that if you read the Scriptures, you can have both. You can have zeal and knowledge. You don't need to choose between the two. Why should there be a choice for a young man to make? Could not you young people have the zeal of youth and the wisdom of age? And could not you that are older have the wisdom of age and retain your zeal and fire from your youth? It is possible to know the Word of God, the Scriptures, and teach it and do it beautifully, to have strength and beauty. And so the psalmist looked at the sanctuary, at the beloved temple, and as he examined the strength on one side and the loveliness on the other, the strong pillars with their lily work on top, the strong sides, the walls with their exquisite carvings and interior covered with gold, the psalmist shouted, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Which was us to the third point this morning, strength and beauty in our ministry, in your ministry. My ministry. Now, there is no temple today in Israel. In 2003, there is another temple. It does not stand in Jerusalem on the site of Solomon's temple. It sits in this auditorium this morning. God's temple sits right here this morning. God's temple is in these pews. The temple today is the body of the Christian. Your body, my body. We are the temple of God. And if you study very carefully, especially Paul's writings, you will find that to be true. The temple of today is the body of the believer. Now, in this body, you will find that it should have both strength and beauty. In your life, in your ministry, in your temple, there should be both strength and beauty. It needs to be both. Maybe there is a person here this morning, as you try to weigh the balances, you would find that you are on one side or the other. And more strength than beauty, or more beauty than strength. I'll tell you, it's difficult to be able to balance the two. It's difficult to have strength and beauty at the same time, to be consistent in both of those areas. And so a lot of times we unconsciously choose. which way we're going to be, which we ought to be. Should we be strong or should we be compassionate? And we find ourselves in situations all the time and we keep asking ourselves the question, in this situation, should I be strong or should I be compassionate? And we think that we must have to choose between the two. But I commend to you this morning, be both. Have both strength and beauty. Have both grace and truth. Have both honor and majesty. Do not trade one for the other or the other for the other one, but rather combine in your life the depth of the Word of God and the zeal that God would want you to have in the propagation of that blessed Word. I heard a beautiful story one day about Dr. George Truett. He was on a Saturday studying for his message the next morning. He had a 5-year-old granddaughter, and she kept bothering him. You know, as most granddaughters would do if they were home with their grandpa all alone. She would walk into his study and say, "Grandpa, could I have a drink of water?" And being the nice grandfather he was, he would get up and he would get his granddaughter a drink of water. And then he sat down to study his sermon again, when suddenly, not even 5 minutes later, she was back. "I'm thirsty again, Grandpa. Can I have another drink?" And he would get up again and give her another drink of water. And then he said to her, "Honey, Grandpa is real busy. I have to preach a sermon this morning, and I need to be alone for a while. Could you just leave me alone?" And then he happened to think that there was a jigsaw puzzle that he had. It was a map of the world in his office. So he got that box that contained the puzzle, and he said, "Honey, sit down and do this jigsaw puzzle." She nodded her head. She said she would do it. So Dr. Truett went back into his office, and he sat down to study. 5 minutes passed, and the girl came in and said, "Grandpa, I'm done with the puzzle, and I want a drink." "You're through?" "Yes, I'm through." Dr. Truett said, "How could you get the world all fixed up in that short amount of time? You don't even know what all the countries are." And as he walked out to look at the puzzle, there had been 100 pieces to this puzzle. She put it together in 5 minutes. "How did you do it?" he asked. She said, "It was easy, Grandpa. On the back side was a picture of a man's face. I didn't work on the world, I worked on the man. And when I got the man right, the world took care of itself." Boy, is that ever true, isn't it? If we want to reach the world, we have to reach individuals. We have to reach people. We have to reach men and women. And we can begin to work on ourselves if we want to get the world all fixed up and right. That's the need of our day, to have the intelligence of that 5-year-old girl, to realize that when people get right, the world will take care of itself. Number 4, strength comes first. Strength comes first. I want you to notice this. In the first place, the psalmist said strength. He did not say beauty and strength. He said strength and beauty. Do you realize that beauty without strength is worse than strength without beauty? Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. It's better to be strong. Do not do rightly. Do right wrongly if you have to make a choice. If you have to choose between the two, do not do wrong rightly, do right wrongly if you must choose. I would rather do right rightly. If I could, I would like to take the Word of God and stand on it and say, "I believe it from cover to cover. I will fight for it. I will die for it. I will not compromise, but I will do it with beauty and grace and love and kindness and meekness and humility." That would be the goal. That would be the way to do it. But if I had to choose between being cantankerous and hard to get along with and standing for the truth and being sweet and kind and denying the faith, I would 10,000 times 10,000 rather be strong in the Bible and believe rightly than stand against the Word of God. I would rather stand on the Bible wrongly than stand off this Bible rightly. Strength comes first. Character is more important than talent. For character will seek talent, and the talent of at times will flee character. You've probably all seen people with a lot of talent, but without the character. Where does it take them? Pretty soon, they've lost the talent. They're not using the talent because they never had the character to go with it. And so they run from character and lose the thing that they need the most. And when the character is far more vital to success than talent. John Bunyan was put in prison because of his stand for the truth. He was strong. In those early days, he wasn't polished with a lot of beauty, but he would stand rightly for the Word of God. He believed in it so much, he was willing to go to prison for what he believed in. You know, I can handle it better when someone hates me because of my position. But I don't want anybody to hate me because of my disposition. See, if I'm standing on the Word of God and you don't like my stand, I mean, I don't like that, but I can handle it a lot better than if you didn't like me because I was an ugly person and difficult to get along with. You know what I'm saying? Strength and beauty, they really have to go together. But I would rather have strength than beauty if I had to choose. I feel sorry for some of the people in my first congregations. I didn't know. When I preached, I just preached against everything back in those days. I found something and I preached. And I had a couple deacons that kind of edged me that way. They said, "Pastor, you could never preach too hard for us." So I began to just preach hard, think of the hardest things I could, and preach at them. And I discovered one day that the people in my congregation, they were surviving, but they weren't overcoming. I was preaching a lot of strength, but I didn't have the beauty to back it up. And really, that wasn't my nature to be that strong. When God got a hold of me, I saw that I could present truth in a number of ways. I could present truth with beauty at the same time. I could preach with a heart of compassion. I could preach and say, you know, I've been there, I've thought that. God has showed me this. Or I could also realize you don't have to preach against everything. If you start preaching for people to live positive Christian lives, pretty soon the Holy Spirit convicts them of the things that they need to give up. And we don't have to just preach against everything. We could preach for Christ, get closer to Christ. They get closer to Him. These other things start to fall off. Strength and beauty. They should adorn every Christian. The thing that ought to adorn you this morning is strength, character, standing for the truth, but also love and grace and mercy. I recall a Texas farmer boy, a story I heard whose boy went off to college. Nobody had ever been to college from that area. Everybody was impressed because one of their own farm boys had gone off to college. Well, this boy came home from college the first time. His dad was plowing in the field. His dad was impressed by his son, but he had some reservations as well. And it was the next day the neighbor came to the dad and said, "Hey, Zeke, how'd your youngin' do in college this year?" He said, "You'd never believe it. Well, it used to be when my boy plowed a row with the mule, he would look at the mule and say, 'Whoa, Reb, turn and giddy up.' But you know what he says now? He says, 'Halt, Rebecca, pivot and proceed.'" Now, I think it might be more beautiful to say, "Halt, Rebecca, pivot and proceed." But I think that the way to get Rebecca turned around is the best way. You know, I've heard preachers that were not very polished at the pulpit. But I mean, they could preach. And when they preached, the anointing of God fell. And I would think it's better to get people changed and get people saved than it would be to know how to speak good English. How many of you ever heard of D.L. Moody? He was not a very good speaker at all. He stammered and stuttered over his words. He had poor, broken English. But man, that guy could preach. I don't know if you've ever heard him. If you've never heard him, you get yourself on the internet sometime and look up D.L. Moody, and you can through real audio, you could hear this man preach. You can hear some of his sermons. Boy, he preached with the anointing of the Spirit of God upon his life. Even some of my pastors when I was younger, they didn't have college educations, but they could preach. They knew how to reach the Lord. They knew how to reach the person in the pew. They knew how to use the Holy Spirit to bring conviction on people's hearts. I guess what I'm saying is, if you have to choose between strength and beauty, have strength. Know where you stand, first of all. Know where you stand in God's Word. Believe it. Sacrifice for it. Don't compromise it. And then begin to add the beauty along with it. And you'll be a dynamic sanctuary, temple for the Lord. Let's consider strength and beauty in creation. All the Christian grace, charm, ethics, and principles you can, get them. That you may adorn the gospel of the grace of God. But let me say, before you get the polish, be sure you get the merchandise. Before you have the strength, before you work, be sure you have the strength before you work on the beauty. Someone has said, never mind about the beautiful. Give us the useful and the durable. Ever heard that? Never mind about the beautiful. Just give us the useful and the durable. I thought about that. My suggestion would be to such a person, look at the yellow grain or yellow gold of the grain field. Look at the emerald green of the meadow, the silver white of the lake, the purest blue of the sky, the fresh green of the spring, the snowy white of the winter, the glory of the sunset, the sevenfold beauty of the rainbow, the towering mountains with their ceaseless lights and shadows. Look at them. Look at God's creation. Look at the strength of the mountain. Look at the strength of the rugged mountain range. And yet its beauty is incomparable. Shadows and highlights shine off those mountains from the reflection of the sun. Look at a tree sometime. Look at how strong and durable, the sturdy the trunk of that tree is. But then in autumn, you look at the falling of the leaves and the changing of the colors and the different colored foliage. And notice how God blends the strong and the beautiful. Look at a hill. Look at a river sometime. You see the moving of that water, how beautiful the flowing of the river is, but also how powerful and strong that water can be. And once you have gained the strength, you then add the beauty. Once you have become a believer with the zeal of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then begin to add these Christian graces. Add love and grace and gentleness and kindness. But be sure the strength is there first. And then number 6, strength and beauty and character. Somebody comes to you, he has strength, he has character, but he needs beauty. I charge you, give him beauty, but don't tamper with his strength. Or someone comes to you as a conviction and they have potential, but they need love. Don't cast them aside, work with them. Add love to his conviction, add kindness to his courage, and make him full of strength and beauty. As you walk out of here this morning to your place of service, may people know that you are a person of strength. May they always be able to say, there is a man or a woman who believes in the Bible. There is a man or woman with conviction. They know what they live for. They would be willing to die for it. But at the same time, may they say, there is a gentleman or there is a lady who lives out the Christian life and who has the love of Christ shed abroad in their hearts. There is a man or a woman who walks with God. There is a man or a woman who has strength and beauty. stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. As you stand for the truth, may you have grace. As you seek grace, may you never leave the truth. As you have strength, may you have beauty. But as you add beauty, may you never lose your strength. As you have zeal, may you have knowledge, but may your knowledge never dampen your zeal. As you have majesty and honor, may your honor never take your majesty, nor your majesty rob you of honor. May it be said simply of you, strength and beauty. This is what the world needs today. It needs Christians who are Christ-like. Christ had an amazing kind of strength about him, but he also had a beauty about him that attracted those with needs to his very presence. This world is dying for the gospel of Christ, and for preachers and for Christians to witness to them, not only with their mouths, but with their lifestyles. Emerson wrote the following: "So nigh is grandeur to our dust, so near is God to man. When duty whispers low, thou must, the youth replies, I can." I'm hoping, I'm praying for a revival in our country. I can't help but think about some of the revival speakers of the past. I'm talking about an old-fashioned revival. Was there hellfire preaching? Yeah, there was. There was the message, you must be born again. But you remember those times with the old-fashioned altar calls and even the old-fashioned mourning benches? We need people like D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday. We need Charles Finney. We need the Wesley. We need evangelists that have the zeal of God burning in their heart, where when they preach, buildings are filled, people are saved, the power of God comes, people repent, mourners mourn, and people turn to God. I'm looking for those days. I'm hoping for those days. I'm praying that revival comes back to America. And I'm looking for those kinds of evangelists to lead the way. But you know, it will never come unless Christian people know how to mix grace with the blessed truth. It won't come until you and I know how to mix grace with the blessed truth. May God give you and me a knowledge that is burning with zeal, a majesty that is built on honor, a grace that is founded by truth, and a beauty that is built with strength. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? This message itself is not a powerful message, but I believe that you get the point this morning. This is what God wants you to have: knowledge and zeal, majesty and honor, grace and truth, beauty and strength. God wants you to have those things this morning, and he doesn't want you to sacrifice one to get the other. My question for you today is, how balanced are you? How balanced are you with your knowledge and your zeal? For example, your grace and truth, your beauty and your strength. It's so easy to get out of balance. It's so easy to emphasize strength over beauty or beauty over strength. And yet God wants us to be in the middle with it. Just let the Holy Spirit search your heart this morning. What is it that you have that you need more of the opposite quality of to be able to balance it? You know, I believe Peter was one who was strong, but at first he didn't have the beauty. But as you begin to read his epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, you see that God did a work on his life, and he became a beautiful disciple. He had the truth, but he had the truth balanced. He had the truth that he presented in love. Start with strength if you must, and add beauty to it. But the goal, strength and beauty, are in His sanctuary. Strength and beauty are in your sanctuary. How many of you would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm a little bit stronger in one or the other. I want to be balanced. I want strength and beauty. Would you pray for me? Could I see your hands this morning? Amen. Amen. You could put them down. Lord, you see the hands today. And I thank you for working in each heart and each life. And I thank you, Lord, that you are building us into what you would have us to be, a beautiful sanctuary for your presence. A beautiful sanctuary that others might behold and to be able to say strength and beauty are in them. Lord, help us. Bring us to the place where we have both strength and beauty and where we would be able to be consistent. We pray, Lord, also that you would draw people to you through us. Lord, as they look at our lives and as they hear the things that we say and they see the way in which we live, that they would be drawn to you. Lord, I pray that from this congregation this morning, there would come forth preachers of the gospel. There would come forth from this congregation evangelists and those who witness, even in the power of the Spirit, like Stephen, as they saw his wisdom and his grace. His wisdom and the truth. Lord, that you would call up from among our midst those that would be like Billy Sunday and those that would be like Charles Finney, those that would be like John Wesley and John Bunyan and D.L. Moody. Lord, I don't think it's too much to ask that you begin to raise up those that are filled with strength and beauty. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we have the worship team back? Can we sing, "No, Ye Not, Ye Are the Temple"? And here's what I'd like us to do this morning. I'm going to have the worship team sing this first verse. "Know ye not, know ye not, ye are the temple." And then you and the congregation will sing the second verse. "Yes, I am. Yes, I am the temple." Everybody on the third verse, I've changed the words around in the third verse just a little bit. Filled with praise, filled with strength, filled with beauty, instead of praise, power, and glory. I'd like us to sing it that way this morning. I would like to see that in your heart, in your sanctuary, God has placed both strength and beauty. You would begin to live it out. Could we stand, please? Okay, the worship team will start us out.
"Not, know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost."
All right, your turn.
"I am, yes I am. Not your own, not your own, ye are the temple. Not your own, not your own, ye are the temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Bought with blood, ye are the temple. Bought with blood, ye are the temple. Bought with blood, ye are the temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost."
Just to test you to see if you've been listening today. You are filled with strength and
beauty.
Strength and beauty. Go in that strength and show forth the beauty of the Lord.